have a set of warm sentiments to being here. I've been here many years already, and one of the Choshev Tamudim of our yeshiva is a product of Shalabim, a younger man named Rabbi Kramer, who's been there already 12 years. He's the paradigm of a masmid, of somebody who still, he started working a few hours of chinuch, but spends as much time with Smedish as a younger man would. He's a proud product of the yeshiva. Others, we're happy that the person who last year in high school won the Ben Torah Award as a paradigm, what a Ben Torah should look like, is sitting here and learning with the Olam. Two of the boys were here last year. Soul Spring boys come back and they're in Beis Medrash part of the time. So it's a very warm, and the yeshiva itself generally has a tremendous, it has a facet of giving besides learning. There's a certain warmth of kedusha, which is not always present, and it's hard to give it over in a yeshiva, because it's hard to find the tools and the mediums, but it's a very vital ingredient, and you should appreciate that besides the text and the specific things that you learn, the tools, the skills, you're also getting a chiyus and a kedusha and a warmth. It's something that's invaluable. I'd like to speak about a topic that is it's as difficult as it is fundamental to Yesodos Hayadus. And we'll start it by phrasing it with a question. It says in the parasha, Dabin no Bosnei Om, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, speak to Klal Yisrael, and V'yishal Ishmei Eser Eyu, and so on. So he told them to speak and to tell them that they should borrow the jewelry, etc., etc. So Rashi says, "Ein no eloshen bakosha, bebakosha mimcho hashir malkach, shelo yomro oso tzadik Avram, shelo yomro oso tzadik Avram, vavodim vino isom kiem behem, va'acha ken yisub rosh god lo kiem behem." So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, please have them ask for it, because or else Avram is going to have pinus that, you know, the Avodim part of it, they fulfilled. But you didn't fulfill your promise of Yetzir B'Chosh Gadol. So, we understand, I mean, it's very hard to understand. The simplest kasha is, and if Avram wouldn't come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a pinus, would HaKadosh Baruch Hu not be Mekayim it? The Vilna Gaon asked the kasha. Don't be Vilna Gaon to ask the question. It's an obvious question. He explains that they would have had Biza later anyway, and so on. But I'd like to point at a different element. It's as if the events that HaKadosh Baruch Hu are doing now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously wants them to take out Biza's Mitzrayim. There's an importance to it. There's a significance to it. There's a reason why he told it to Avram. So for whatever reason that it's important for Klal Yisrael to take the visa and to get it, isn't that the reason? HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a reason. He wasn't bargaining with Avram and saying, okay Avram, if you promise, you know, if you promise to do Vavadim, I'll do the visa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him in Nevuah, these are the elements that are going to happen. There's a reason why Klal Yisrael has to go out with visa. That should be the reason to direct Moshe to do it. Don't tell them to take the Biza, because it's very important to take Biza. Why is he coming as being Porea Shtarchov, as fulfilling a previous commitment? Why not as a Maisa right now? That's one point. In a similar vein, we look at the beginning of Parshas Ve'era. It says, "Va'eril Avram and Sevi Yaakov Kel Shakai Ushmi Avayir Lo Nedati Lahem." So Rashi says that Shmi Havaya. What is the description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's great name? The name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in its greatness. It says, "Lo Nikarti Lahem B'Midas Amitis Shali She'Oleho Nikra Shmi Hashem Ne'emon La'Amis Dvarai." The name Havaya, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essential name, the one that describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu in its most essential way of describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps his word. Now, and then he says, you know, Vayomer Lo Ani Hashem, same thing. Further on, Rashi says that And he says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Porea from Mishoyim, or he gives Schar to Tadikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mizgala with his Midas Ha'emes. It's hard to understand that point. It certainly is important to keep your word. It certainly is important to do what you promised to do. But is that a Kaddish Baruch Hu's ultimate description? If we needed to focus on some term, on some idea that describes a Kaddish Baruch Hu in essence, a Kaddish Baruch Hu keeps promises? I mean, it's a nice thing to do, but is that really the best description of a Kaddish Baruch Hu? And yet, Rashi says that. Rashi says that Ani Hashem, as opposed to Kel Shakai, quote-unquote, does not keep promises necessarily, and Havaya keeps promises. And Ani Hashem is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Rishayim what they deserve, gives Tzadikim what they deserve, that's when you have the Gilui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Havaya. Very, very difficult to understand. There's another facet of that I have a problem understanding. When we speak about, on Rosh Hashanah, we daven that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Emes, Alekim Emes, and we speak about it in many, many different ways. When I say about somebody, this person is a truthful person. He tells the truth. What I really mean to say is, he doesn't lie. There is no positive quality, L'chura, called truth. If I say, is this person truthful? It's like saying, when I say somebody's healthy, the quality that I mean to describe is that it doesn't have any disease. If I say somebody is strong, there's a positive quality to it. When I say somebody is smart, there's a positive quality. When I say somebody is healthy, all I'm doing is negating a possible negative quality. Healthy means he does not have any illnesses. So when I say that a Kaddish Baruch Hu is truthful, when I say that anybody is truthful, I'm only saying that he doesn't lie. Now, when it comes to dealing with human beings, we realize that we're all so prone to lying that somebody who does not have any... It's just like when you say on a 95-year-old man that he's very healthy and he has no illnesses whatsoever... We say you're saying that he's a very strong constitution, because it's very rare that somebody that age should not suffer. So when I pick up somebody and I say he's a truthful person, he never tells a lie, it is a positive shvach, because we're all weak and we always have little occasions when we need to kind of let's not say lie, but to kind of stretch the truth a bit and so on. So for us, saying that somebody tells the truth is a positive quality. But when you're talking about a Kaddish Baruch Hu, so when we say Kaddish Baruch Hu is Emes, Elokim Emes, Apa Emes, Dvorcha Emes, Akarim La'ad, so what are we saying about a Kaddish Baruch Hu's greatness? We're just saying that a Kaddish Baruch Hu never fails to deliver. Well, why would he? We fail to deliver because our resources are limited, we're tired, we have other commitments, etc., we forget. But what is that Shasta Kaddish Baruch Hu? So why would Emes, not only is Emes a Shvach about a Kaddish Baruch Hu, but Chazal say that when a note came down in a Shemayim, and we knew it was a Kaddish Baruch Hu because it was signed with Emes. Emes is Chosoma Shakaddish Baruch Hu. So how is that a positive quality that speaks about a Kaddish Baruch Hu's Emes and so on? I'd like to touch on a different topic that also is going to lead us to the same points that we want to make. We find in a few places, most notably by Avram, that a Kaddish Baruch Hu sent a malach to be mevaser the psura of Yitzchak. He's a special malach for it. We say in benching, we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu should send us Eliyahu HaNavi to be Mevaser Psuros Tovos Yeshuas Nechamos. Now, what's the institution of being Mevaser? It's like always in the States when you get so much junk mail, when you get a letter saying in a few days you're going to get a letter, with something good, a check, an entry to a Swiss, or whatever it is, you know that it's garbage. Because if you want to send a check, send a check. When you send a letter telling me that you're going to send a check, there's a big gap between that and the check that's going to come. It's not one and the same. Either let it come. Why send a Yom Novi? Send Mashiach. We'll take care of the good news ourselves. We'll publish it on the internet. We'll have it out. Send Mashiach. Why do we need a Yom Novi to come and tell us Rabbi Stein? I hope you don't have any plans for next week because Mashiach's coming. What's the point of that? HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent to Avraham Avinu a Malach to be Mevasi, he can have a child. As soon as Sarah had a period, like she had, she realized she's going to have a child. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. So where is the role of the Mevaser? And it's by Avraham Avinu, it's by Yohan Navi, and Ayom Psura Hayom, and so on. There's a concept of a Psura being something that is important, significant. A Navi doesn't perform any miracles to prove himself. Nevuah is a fundamental of Yiddishkeit. The Rambam puts it down, actually two or three facets about a Navi, and Navi, Nevuah's Moshe Rabbeinu, as being an essential feature of Emunah. A Navi's job is to speak for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Meila, there are practical Nevuahs, but there are many Nevuahs that are Psuros, the Chamos and so on, the Shev, the Nechemta and so on. So good, they're there to lift up our spirits, and it's nice. But we test a Navi not by a miracle, but by predicting the future. Now, what's the reason? The Rambam clearly says it. It is halacha like that. But the Rambam, in his Hakdamah to Bereshit Mishnayos, makes a very strong point of it. When a Navi comes, and we need to test him to see if his credentials are genuine, he does not perform an unnatural miracle, but he has to predict the future. Now, let's think a little bit about this. If it's a predicting of a future that we could do, if I tell you tomorrow is going to rain, I'm kind of 50-50 on that one. So it's not going to prove anything. If a Navi comes along and says, I'm a Navi, and say, how do you know? Well, tomorrow is going to rain. He's got a 50% chance of being a Navi. It's not going to be something that we can test him on. It's obviously something that impossible to test the person. In a month from now, in a week from now, so-and-so will die. So-and-so will, something will happen that's completely unpredictable. So that's not natural. It is a getter of a nace for me to be able to predict events that are completely indeterminate is not less of a miracle than me levitating the bench over here. They are unnatural. So when we're testing a Navi, the Rambam says specifically what we want to test is not a miraculous event, but a miraculous prediction. Why? Why is that the specific? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to bring a Navi, I would have him do a little miracle. Why not? It's more foolproof than predicting events. So let's try to understand a deep nekuda about the inyan of emes, about what the midah is, where it comes from, and so on, and then we'll understand a much deeper sense of it. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world that comes in levels. There's Hashem, His Ratzon, His Chachma, and then there's the physical world as it is. They don't always seem to go together. There's a disjunction between what we know is Ratzon Hashem, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, as expressed in the Torah, and what the world is. This seem to be apparent contradictions in what we know is the Emes Lamito of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and what the world is, and what it appears to be. The science, which is in a certain sense the physical description of the world, doesn't always lead us to the same conclusion as the Amita of Torah. So there's a discrepancy between the world as it is, the Etzem, the Pnimiyuso, and as it is on the outside. That discrepancy is really the source of everything that's wrong in the world. And when those two would click together and be one and the same, that midah is called emes. Emes is, it's like the same word like ta'om, in the same letters as ta'om in Lashon Kodesh. When the two elements are one and the same, expressed in different ways, that's emes. So just like colloquially, on a simple level, we speak of emes, what happened and what I said. If they're the same, that's called emes. So the emes is not my little own, you know, lying and fudging to earn money to get out of a complicated spot. In its ultimate essence, it's the two events, the reality and the way I described it, when they come together, that's called emes. When I describe things as they are, that click is emes. In the large picture, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when the world outside, as expressed, as appears to us, is the same as what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made it to be, that is called a gilui of the midah of emes. So for instance, if I see HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, stealing is bad, and I see a thief thriving, then the world is sheker. There's a disconnect between what I see and what I know. It's like I would tell you about this person. This person has 20 diseases, and the guy is playing soccer and shooting goals 100 meters away. I say, it's not. You know, this is the x-ray. This is the person. It's not the same. When I see the outside expression and appearance the same as the panim, that's the picture of emes. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the great picture, it expresses itself when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon and Chachma and the world as it appears to us are one and the same. That disconnect can either be seen as a stira, it can be seen as a contradiction, and we reach a conclusion of Sheker Chas V'Shalom, or it's called Ne'eman. Emunah is the bridge that says it's in the process. So for instance, if a person deposits money in the bank, let's say a little boy walks with his father into a bank, and his father puts the money in the bank. He puts $1,000 in the bank. And the kid says to the father, my gosh, why are you giving away $1,000 to the bank? And the father says, no, it's going to be here till when I need it. And then I'll have it. I'm not giving it away. Bismana said, the little kid might be right, but the banks today and the financial situation, the Olam V'Yonkim, it might be like Nevuah's Nitna L'Ktanim, but in terms of real essence, there is an apparent disconnect. I had $1,000 in my pocket, I don't have it anymore, but I will have it. The midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that bridges the two is called Ne'emah. Emes ve'emunah. There's an emes that expresses itself through emunah, and that is, he stole money yesterday. Tomorrow, you're going to see the fulfillment of Lo Signovu on that person. But the world was created so that the emes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bridged with a certain concept called emunah or ne'emanis. I need to understand that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu said this is bad, it will disintegrate. I'm not going to see it today, but it's disintegrating, and at some point it's not going to be there. There's an extraordinary story with Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim, they once came running to Chofetz Chaim and told him a terrible thing happened. A man in town was killed by wild dogs who bit him and the terrible death. And the Chavetz Chaim said, 25 years ago, this man threw out an almana with her yisomim from a house in the middle of the winter because she couldn't afford to pay rent. And the Pasuk says that you know, don't pain an almana because she calls out to me. And for 25 years, I was waiting to see when that Pasuk would be in the sky. In other words, he knew there was a time bomb ticking. Because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it's there, but the gap between the saying and the event, that's emuna, that's the emunah, and so on and so forth. So let's go back to the points and let's explain it also on the human level. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with that disconnect, let's go first to a person's own nefesh and we'll understand more about how emes comes out and how emes describes itself as a midah. A person functions at two levels. There's what I think, what I have in mind, what I want, and what I do. I'm not used to cell phones, so I don't have it's off. So lemaisa, I don't, when I do something, I don't know what it is that I'm doing. If I give somebody the water, it could be that I feel you're thirsty and I have rachmanis. It could be that I'm just being polite. It could be I didn't know what I was doing. I was just playing with this while I was talking. It could be I'm trying to get some favor out of you afterwards. You'll get me a cup of coffee afterwards. I'll get you a cup of water and get me a coffee. Not clear. So the pnim and the chutz don't have a way of connecting in the world of human action. What connects it is the dibur. When I say, here, you look thirsty to me, why don't you have a glass of water? Or if I don't say anything, I might be doing it absentmindedly. Or if I say, you owe me one, I know it's a trade-off. The koach hadibur of a person is what connects the person's thoughts, ideas, feelings to his actions. And that's why emes is a midah that expresses itself mostly in dibur. Not so much because of the aspect that he tells the truth, not tell the truth, but the way in which I connect what I really think and want and what I do is by saying it. And that's why Chachmei Kedem were mesakin for us to make brachas. Chazal were mesakin brachas. Or hini mucharim zumans. Anytime we say something, it acts as a connection. I am now taking this little bit of an asterisk to be mekayim the ratz of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm now taking this little bit of an asterisk to make tikkunim in the olam hazeh yonim between this sphere, that sphere, and the other sphere. I'm now taking this little bit of an asterisk to be meshabeach mehalal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. Whatever I use my power of speech, I connect it to. And that creates the bond of emes between what I thought, what I had in mind, and what I did. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol is the same thing. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu does things in the world, we look at it, and we're not sure, what does that connect to? Somebody's going through a difficult time. Is it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is punishing him? Is it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is challenging him? Is it because it's normal, and everybody goes through this, and this is the way the world was set up? Is it because everybody has their own nisyonos? We don't know. And therefore, it's hard for us to tell, to see the amitos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's very hard to tell if we don't have any information. When another gets up and says, Ko Amar Hashem, you're being punished for this. You're being rewarded for this. Don't do this or this will happen. Do this and this will happen. Then I have the connection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intention and the reality that happens. If you ever take a look, try imagine a newspaper without captions, and you look at it, and it's frustrating. Are they showing me a mob? Are they showing me a victory celebration? Are they showing me a lot of people starving? What are they showing me? I don't know, I just see pictures. It's hard. Try sometimes as an exercise to look at something without captions. Very, very difficult. It's kind of, we can't get a feel for it. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he talks, gives a caption for something. There's a famous, there's a very, very vitriolic machlokas between the Ben Ezra and the Ramban in Parashas Vayigash. It goes like this. The Ben Ezra brings the Chazal that Yocheved was 130 or when she had Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Ben Ezra says, impossible. It can't mean it literally anyway. And he says, because Sarah had it at 90, and we say, wow, what a great, great, great miracle. If she beat her record by 30, 40 years, she should be the one that's the big heroine. And obviously the Chazal is not literal, and the people who made piyutim about it didn't know what they were talking about. The Ben Ezra is very sharp, as he always is, and he really goes to town. He didn't like piyutim to start with, and a piyut that seemed to make Chazal literal that he felt wasn't, he especially saved his best lines for it, and he really, really let the Bala piyut have it. The Ramban takes it out on the Ben Ezra. And Ramban goes head-to-head with Ben Ezra. And he says a very sharp lashon. He says a horrendously sharp lashon. It's something to the effect of it's, you know, he's worth having molten gold poured down his throat. I mean, we think that today's nusach on the notices are sharp and all the paskevilim. If you go to Rishonim, there was a sharpness in the way there was a passion in the way they spoke. But he says the following Ramban. Ramban says, a miracle that hasn't been predicted by a Navi is not spoken about in the Torah. Doesn't really explain why. So I think there's a Pashut explanation. There's one explanation is just a natural explanation. If somebody were to come and ask you, what are the chances that you would be learning in a yeshiva that has, I don't know how many trees are outside here in this position, and it would have X amount of meters of space, and so on and so forth. And I don't know what the chances are, but wherever I'd be in yeshiva, there would be something unique about it. It would be on top of the hill, it would be on the bottom of the hill. It would be with an orange tree, it would be an eucalyptus tree, or it would be with cement blocks. You know, that doesn't say anything. But if 5 years ago somebody would have come and said, in 5 years now you'll be in the yeshiva, and the yeshiva will look the following. That's awesome, because that becomes, you see that there was an intention, and there was a guiding hand that led you to a place. There's nothing, everything's extraordinary. There's nothing in the world similar to anything else. So it's like winning a lottery ticket. The person who won the lottery ticket, his chances are 1 in 1 million, 1 in 10 million, whatever it is. But every week somebody wins a lottery ticket. But if somebody were to come to you a week before and say, next week you're the one that's going to win, and you win, that's a miracle. In other words, what connects and expresses intent and design and something that's and that shows a guiding hand is speech. So if a Navi didn't come and say it, then having a child at 140, at 130, is as miraculous as having a child at 20. Having a child at 20 is a miracle. And no one could design any machine that could have children. Not even Microsoft can do it. No one can design things that make children. It's a miracle. But it's not a miracle because that's the way the world is. But if I come along and I say something, that makes it into a nes. So a Navi is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's main midah in the world. If we're to ask ourselves what's the fundamental midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, it is that the world, the way we understand it and perceive it, reflects HaKadosh Baruch Hu's design, intent, guidance, providence, etc. That midah is called emes. It's when the world fits the intent and the intent fits the world. The process happens in two ways. Either Lasid Lava, when it says that trees will bear fruit, will bear ready lechem guzkos, and in one day it'll bring fruit. What it means is there will be no disconnect from the purpose and the accomplishment. The purpose of wheat is to have lachmaniot in the morning. So it's not you're going to plant a seed, wait for it to grow, cut it, harvest it, bring it to the mill, and all that. It will be instant. That's loss of lavo when the emes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be begoli. Until that time, we live with emuna, which means HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this is the tachlis of the world. This is the purpose of the world. It will happen. There's a dibur that connects it. The dibur of Torah, the dibur of Nevi'im, Aratza b'divreihem ha'nemorim be'emes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put Nevu'ah in the world because the emes is focused on the Divrei Hanavi. But we need a Muna to connect this and to connect that. I just remind myself, something's hit me now about a Muna. I don't know how many people have heard of it. There was a very, very big tzaddik, an otherworldly tzaddik named Reb Yitzchak Zilber, lived near Yerushalayim. There's a book written about him. I don't know if any of you read it. I knew him personally. He died a few years ago. He was a Jew who lived in Russia under the communist heels. He came out in 71, 72. His life was extraordinary. Mesias Nefesh. He was a Talmud Chacham. He worked as a math teacher. Never was Michal Shabbos. Kashrus. His son knew five Mesefes Baal Peh when he came to the Mir in 71, 72. His son is Veichas Talmud Chacham Luz Yerushalayim. Extraordinary person. But he lived when it was hottest. He was in jail under Stalin. Really, really lived the hottest kufa. When his son, his oldest son, got married, his oldest son came to the yeshiva and learned. He asked Reb Chaim Shalevitz if knowing five Mesefes Baal Peh is enough to get in. Reb Chaim started crying, and he thought he's crying because, Nebuch, he learned so few Mesefes while in Russia. Then Reb Chaim was crying that nobody else knew anywhere near the amount that he knew, that his son knew. His son, Ben Sion, got married, and they made a Shevrach in yeshiva. I don't know, it's a big Shavuot Brachas. His father, Reb Yitzchak Zolbas Chayim Brachas, the tzaddik, got up to speak. And he pulled out an old, faded newspaper, written in Russian, one of those big newspapers, with a picture of himself and his family there. And he read it, and translated it. It was written, I don't know when, which years it was written, the 60s sometime. It basically, the title was A Shame on the Community. There is a family of in our community, in our city, of crazy fanatical religious parents, and the children can't wear certain types of clothing together. I guess it was Shabbos. They can't eat certain foods. It's fanatical. It's terrible. And the children are being raised miserable. And it's the duty and obligation for the community to take these children away and give them an enlightened education. In Russia, when they wrote an article about what people ought to do, they usually did it afterwards. The article was usually getter of a nevuah, of a psura. It wasn't idle freedom of press expressing itself. It was basically, the next one would be letters to the editor that we all are ready to do it, and we're volunteering. He said, I saved this piece of paper because I wanted to read it at my son's Shabbat Brachas that I knew would be in Yerushalayim. So I'm fulfilling my intention when I put it in my packet. And it was stunning. At first, it was emes. Like he was a person that was very, very straightforward. So in the 60s, when his world was ready to collapse around him, and he put a piece of paper like that in his pocket so that he has what to entertain the olim with at his son's Shabbos Yerushalayim. That's called emuna. He knew it was emes. He knew that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Lishkashakach mipiv pizaro, pizar zayacha," it's emes. But the bridge from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's das and ratzon to us goes with emuna, and the dibur of the divrei neviim are that bridge from what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in mind to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing it into. Let's go back and sort of the so that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said the others had the dibur, and their avoda, the avoda of others, was to see the emuna part of emes and not the emes part. You're going to be staying in Har Sinai and you're going to see the emes of it, but the others were able to see the emes even when it was covered by sheker. And that's why it says chaval de avdin. I did not present, emes had not yet come to the world by the others. Emunah had come. And emuna is, in a certain sense, a much deeper understanding of emes than the gili of emes is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intent is to show the emes, but we can preempt it. We can move a step forward through emuna. I want to translate this into something that might be relevant to us ourselves in our own kochos and nefesh and so on. When we ask ourselves, working on emes, so obviously lying is not a good thing, and avoiding lies is a great thing to do. I don't think that one needs a special shmooze for that. But there's a deeper nekuda, and it works in two directions. How much of what we do is a complete expression of what we want and what we thought about and what we understood? What's the difference between somebody who sits and learns a few years and does mitzvahs to somebody who doesn't and he does mitzvahs? They're both doing mitzvahs. They're both doing the right thing. Good people doing the right thing. But it's a world of difference if what you're doing is an expression of what you understand, of what you're aware of what you're cognizant of, something that is your entire pnim, as opposed to doing something which you know you ought to do, but you don't have ability, you don't have the understanding and the sensitivity, the awareness, that it's a fulfillment of your inner self. One half of what we're doing in yeshiva is building a self in terms of understanding, in terms of awareness, in terms of feeling, in terms of meaning, that we express, that when we will do maisim and mitzvahs, we're going to be expressing them. Learning to do things not to shake more than you need to shake, but that you have enough feeling for the tefillah that you move by it. To do something with regish because you feel it, and not to add false regish to it. Sheker is even the Reb Chaskel Levenstein was a mashkiach of Panovich, and his main avoda was emes. He was a very sharp person, very critical about motives, and there was nobody who was more critical of than himself. And there was a tkufa when he stopped crying when he said shmuzen. There were two tkufas. One of them he said, he had a grandchild that died, and he said, I'm never sure that when I start crying, it's because the topic has moved me, or because I still have the lingering avelus, mourning over my grandchild. And if I cry about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when I really mean my grandchild, those are false tears. And when he got old, he stopped crying. He said, old people are weak emotionally, and they cry easily, and they're not genuine tears. That's an extraordinary diagram. But it means that a person does things, there's no gap between what he is, what he feels, what he understands, and what he does. It's not a call to do less. It's a call to understand more, to feel more, to make yourself more sensitive. A yeshiva builds a person's pnimius. You understand. You learn and you understand what you're doing, why you're doing, and so on. That's what a person is doing in yeshiva. That's a person's job in yeshiva. And the quality of his maisim will depend on that. The second half is, if a person has feelings, if a person has drives, aspirations, and he doesn't fulfill them, then the person is lacking also in that midah of emes. You didn't bring out, the outside hasn't expressed who you are. And that's why it's appropriate, we tell sometimes a bacha, for him it's okay to do this, for you it's not. And the question is, well, are there two shulchan aruchs? The answer is like this. If the shulchan aruch says no, it's no for everybody. But there's a big area where it's right for some people because this is where they're holding. And it's wrong for other people because they're holding someplace else. For a person to have essence, that's not fully expressed, not fully brought out, is also a gap in that midah. So these centers here are an extraordinary focal point of be'etzem, what Torah is about, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is about. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's most essential midah in the world is emes. It relates to the foundation of what the world is. The world is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Das and Ratzon, and Chitzonius, that seems to have a life of its own. When we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is emes, Hashem Elokim emes, emes v'emunah, emes v'yatzid, what we're saying is we affirm that there cannot be a gap between what is and what appears. The way we bridge the gap is through emunah, through understanding that the disconnect is a question of time, it's a question of seeing it from a different angle, it's a question of understanding it. That's our affirmation of emunah. The Avos started with emunah, and through emunah they were zochet to see emes. The Avos heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to give you Eretz Yisrael, I'm going to give you children, I'm going to do this, that, and they didn't see it. And emunah made it as real to them as to their children who saw. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu. It's important for me that you get the biza, because it's a kiyum of the emes. I was told Avraham Avinu that the emes is that Kasal should go out of Mitzrayim and take biza. Then I want the events as they happen to become fulfillments of my intent. The kiyum and the promise to Avraham Avinu is that, and it's an avoda for us to become. When the purpose, an Adam that's over the Hashem B'Shleimus is a person that the inner self and the outer self are the same. What we see outside is a genuine expression of his Das and his Hakara. And what's inside him expresses itself outside. If the person is a finer person, he doesn't come out in coarse ways. He stops himself from doing things that he knows is no longer him, to act in a way that that's just not him. When a person is able to combine those two midas, that's the most extreme example, that's the greatest example of Halachta B'Dracha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's main road, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's center of the highway is Emes. And a person, this is the hardest avoda of a person, is always to keep the two together, what we do and what we understand. And the reservoir of understanding and hargasha and so on is here in yeshiva. And the more you fill up here, the more you get from here, the more you absorb, you have what to build in a lifetime. Because if you're ma'aretz, lo ma'aretz chassid, if an ma'aretz does things that are beyond shuras hadin, he's a clown. If a person who doesn't is an Amoritz, is putting on a rabbinic tonsil and running to the mikveh and taking shtreimels and doing who knows what, then that person's a clown. What are you doing? You don't even understand what you're doing. It's whatever it is that you understand and learn now, and you accomplish, that's your hakar of emes. And that's when you have a sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being noida to you, to be mak HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the midas emes.